Hey y'all, we're back. Episode 3, me and Marshan.
Hello guys.
And today we have some interesting things to talk about. So we're gonna talk about shooting your shot, sliding in the DMs. I know it's the thing now where women, we're shooting our shots now. You know,
we're no longer waiting on the sidelines.
Not
someone says it to us.
Waiting. You know, no, fellas, when a woman, she likes your post, if she liked that post more than 3 times, so shooting a shot. You know what I'm saying?
Or if she like, you know, going to your little pictures and like maybe about 3, 4, 5 pictures. That could be a sign of her shooting her shot and she waiting for you to say something.
She ha ha. She ha ha 3 times. Ha ha. Ha ha, nigga.
Say something, nigga.
Ha ha, me to go ahead and shoot your shot.
No, basically.
But don't be shooting your shot if you know what I'm saying, if you got a girlfriend, somebody think they are your girlfriend, ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, crazy ex-girlfriend.
Anybody like that you know is 3 crazy.
Yeah.
And go through your phone and then all of a sudden she wanna message you.
Stalking.
You wanna come to you as a woman.
That, you know, Shirley and Barbara.
You ever had somebody come to you as a woman?
I personally have never had anyone to inbox me as a woman to woman. I don't think I've ever inboxed a woman on some Barbara to Shirley type of scenario either.
It wasn't through social media. Like, I was talking to this dude, girl. I was talking for a while. Man, we were dating. Like, dude was coming to the crib. He was spending the night, had to spend the night bag, all that, like, leaving. He would leave shit at the crib and all that. And then all of a sudden, I started getting these phone calls from a number that was like his, but said the last 2 digits
were
different.
Yeah, it's on the same plan.
I didn't know that at the time.
That's what I'm saying. But that gave me an indication it's on the same plan.
Right, but she would just call and hang up. And then one day, she finally spoke and she was like, "Do you know so and so?" And I'm like, "Yeah, who is this?"
Mm-hmm.
"Oh, this is his girlfriend."
Mm-hmm.
"And I've been seeing you texting him and I paid a phone bill."
Wow. Oh, and she pays the bill.
She paid the bill. And apparently they live together. I'm like, well.
Well, how did he make up from not coming home?
I don't know.
See, y'all be having some really good excuses or some really
I'm like, bro, this dude got socks and shit at my crib. Like,
I'm just trying to see how you get away with like not coming home multiple times.
Some women are just like that. They don't care.
But she in your inbox, so or she's calling you.
Exactly.
That's interesting.
Girl, they had a whole family.
Huh.
They had kids.
Huh.
All that. And I was like, honey,
maybe you can.
Yeah. I'm like, this would be the last. This, yeah, last night was last night. He come over here. He can't even call this phone no more. She wanted to fight me. I'm like, I didn't even know about you.
But that's the thing that I never understand. Never understand, never understood. And me coming from both sides of the spectrum, I've never tried to fight a woman
because my man
is cheating.
Right.
Like, my man is cheating.
So I'm gonna beat you.
But I want to fight you. No, I'm finna get this nigga here. Like,
right.
Nigga at all. Like, I'm finna fight his ass because at the end of the day, he's the one that's committed to me. Unless the person is like a friend or a family member or some shit like that, then yeah, everybody can get hands. But other than that, I ain't like, this woman don't owe me shit.
Right. I don't owe you no explanation.
Yeah, it was all on him.
Right.
Like, that. This is a nigga that lied to you.
And this was like, this was around at this time, it was before Love and Hip Hop. So it was way before the side chick. You know
epidemic.
What I'm saying? Epidemic before it became like oh, I wouldn't say okay, but before it became like a known thing.
Right.
Like it wasn't like in the light, so it wasn't a public glorified thing. Or yeah. It wasn't yeah. like something that was, you know, oh, it's a side chick, you know,
yeah.
type of deal. Like I was thinking, here I was thinking I was the main chick. He was like the first dude that I brought around the girls. And he would come over my crib, like was helping me with the girls, and it was crazy.
Nicholas
had a whole life yeah. on the side. Well, I was on the side apparently, but he had a whole living girlfriend, yeah. and they was on a family plan.
And like, how stupid though, because
kids.
Yeah,
I was on the Christian. Yeah,
if your girl pay your bill, like, why don't you have a separate phone? If you gonna cheat,
right? Why she knew all this, like she knew all the texts, like she was reading me text lines.
Yeah, she got the fucking phone plan. I mean, she pays it. She got password.
She was like, "You said this to him, and he said that." I'm like, "Okay, then you know what's going down." Like, right. Does it sound like so I knew he had a girl?
Why are you not checking your nigga though? Why are you calling me?
It was crazy.
Because if you have proof like that, there's no reason for you to call me, unless it's just for your presence to be known.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But other than that, like when it comes to, oh, I want to fight her for what?
Right. Exactly.
Cause your nigga is the one that was fucking this other person. Not like, come on.
Yeah, I've been blocked on Facebook before cause somebody's girlfriend. Cause I like to post. Like I'm like, what's up with? It's just Facebook. Like don't mean I want to fuck you.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
It's a bunch of just insecurities floating around. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, women really be... And men, too. Because I've heard men doing this shit, too.
Men doing it, too.
But, you know, with my occupation, we have a couple of Facebook groups. And we have this new group that I cannot say the name of it. It's a secret. But we have this new group, and just yesterday somebody posted to share your most memorable woman to woman inbox message. And basically a lot of the flight attendants posted their or screenshot a woman jumping to their DMs about their boyfriend.
Wow.
And, you know, I just feel like we need therapy because the way some of these women were coming for these other women was like crazy. Like, there is no other. It's like, I had to show Shamil some of this shit.
Yeah, I read some of the messages and we were out there. We literally lasted probably like a good 45 minutes.
Like, these chicks were pure crazy. And I understand when things get invested in feelings, emotions, time, you can't get that shit back. And families may have been instated or whatever the case may be. But, like I said, unless she's your friend or you know her personally, that beef is between you and your dude. That right. beef has nothing to do with the other person. Or that beef is between you and your girl. It has nothing to do with the dude. You know what right. I'm saying? Unless y'all personally have a relationship. Other than that, you don't, like, catch your fate for what?
Right. I don't think I've never inboxed another chick.
I've never inboxed another
or
chick.
Or caught another chick about my dude.
I remember having an inbox conversation with another chick.
Right.
Behind what at the time he was a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of shit was already kind of like established.
Mm-hmm.
In our little dynamic, and I needed clarification on something that I wanted to personally know.
Right.
And that, and I asked her, but we had already had like a line of communication because of some other situations that were going on.
Right.
But other than that, like I never jump in somebody's inboxes like, you fucking my man.
Right. Who? How do you know him?
Yeah, how you know him?
I mean, it's social.
Why are you liking his pictures? Why are you commenting on him?
Commenting on him like you know him? Like, I don't
know. And I tell anybody, it ain't the chicks. 9 times out of 10, if your dude is fucking with somebody else, It ain't the chick that liking the pictures and the chicks that's commenting on the pictures. It's the ones that's not.
Facts. Hashtag facts.
It's the ones that's not.
It's the ones that's not.
So y'all checking
not.
For the wrong motherfuckers, okay? Right. Wrong ones. It's the ones that trying to stay in the shadows.
Trying to be low keys.
They maintain not, low key. They don't want everybody. They don't want the drama. Because let me tell you, a person that really is fucking with somebody like that, they don't want anything fucking up what they got going on. So they ain't trying to bring no light.
No light to the situation. That's
ain't trying right. to raise no red flags. Shit, she might be telling your nigga it's time for you to go home because you know she's going to be tripping.
Whole time he responded to comments. Responding to those likes and comments, but he laid up with the chick that's not coming in.
Exactly.
Not liking no posts.
Exactly.
Chilling, low key in the cut.
Did somebody just recently post something about, dang it. Who posted that? Somebody posted some meme about, that pillow talk will be good when you be giving them advice. When you give it. When you
It probably was Kelly. Or no, was it Tanya? Somebody posted. I know exactly what post she's talking about.
It was either like, Tamara, Tanya, or Kelly. Because they always throw posting
right,
a wild ass.
Talking about that pillow talk hit different. Well, you gotta go home.
When you're giving him advice about his own relationship.
Right, so pillow talk came different when you giving him advice about his relationship. Like, that shit there, like...
I think it was Kelly. It had to be. I really think it was Kelly.
It had to be, but...
But it's like, facts. You know what I'm saying? Like, the ones that don't want the shit, don't want nothing to fuck up, is the ones that's telling him or telling her.
Or they probably not even social media friends. How you know? Like...
Yeah.
No, but people be thinking that like equals fucking, you know, love. Do not love a post, because love means you want to put or something.
It's the furthest thing from the truth.
But sliding the next woman's DM about your man is not going to make your situation better. Because a lot of times men, when you do that, that pushes the man even further away. If he is cheating, that's going to make him want to cheat even more. Because... Yeah. Either you're going through his phone, he doesn't have no type of privacy.
Yeah.
You're invading that space.
Right.
Or whatever.
And honestly, if you feel like your significant other is cheating, you probably are.
Right.
Unless you just have insecure issues. But other than that, if you feel that vibe, especially for women, if we feel that little spidey senses are tingling.
Right. But how crazy do you have to be to actually inbox? You think about that one chick that was that inbox that one girl. Hey, I seen you liking and comment. How
right.
many other chicks? You done slid in my inbox. How many other chicks inboxing
right.
are you in about
right.
this man?
So there was a particular person that screenshot this other woman DMing her because she was upset that this other girl was liking too many of his posts. Liking or commenting on too many of his posts, and she told her she had to chill out, she's doing too much. I'm like,
it's social media.
If you have an issue, talk to your dude about it. But why are you coming to another woman? Because, I don't know, I ain't never had that level of insecurity.
With
so.
Social media, it's so many people. I think my friends list, I'm probably at capacity, I don't even know 5,000 people, but. There's only like a few that I interact with. You know what I'm saying? Like if they're interacting on my page, then I'll interact on their page or whatever. And it's just because of how, you know, social media, the algorithms work. They shows you a certain people.
Yeah.
And so those certain people that I see, those are the people that I interact with. You know what I'm saying? I really don't see other people unless they come and I'm like, hey, let me see who this is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's just usually how it is. But you have to be batshit crazy. To inbox a woman because she liked or comment on a man's post is social media. If you don't want to like or comment or don't want to see nobody liking or comment, deactivate your page.
Right. Yes. Don't go on social media.
Then social media is not for you.
But that's I feel like either you're crazy or you have such a high level of insecurity in within yourself, or such a low amount of self-esteem within yourself that something like that bothers you. Like,
I say mental issue. I just be diagnosing everybody.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
She's not mental
issues. You know, one of my... yesterday, my homeboy posted a picture of one of his accomplishments, and I commented, "Oh, I'm proud of you." Mm-hmm. And I had, like, the black heart on there, because anytime I would, like, say something to somebody that's black, I always put the black one. And he texts me, and he was like, "Man, you have to chill on the
heart."
Well, like, first he said the heart, he's like, "Man, you have to chill on how you comment," or something like that. And he was like putting the little laugh emojis, whatever. And I was like, "What are you talking about?" I was like, "I just said I was proud of you." He was like, "Yeah, but you know, you add the little heart to it, blah, 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 blah. You know, people gonna be tripping, this and this." And I was like, "Nigga, I am proud of you, and I put a heart, like, really?" He was like, "You know how people are. You know how people are." And he legit deleted
your comment,
my comment behind that. He's like, "You just know how people are. You know how people are." And I say, "Who is offline?" But
he is true, though, because I think people take texts way out of context. Like, you can't.
That's true. That's for sure. That's for sure. But, like, he just basically, opened up his first business.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it is done. I didn't see this thing complete. It is done. So I am, like, very proud. And it's another black-owned business. Like, that in itself will make me proud.
Right.
But then I personally know you. You know what I'm saying? But, like, boy, all this shit that you be posting, my comment should be the last thing.
Chill out. People going to think. I don't give a
minute. And it wasn't, I knew it wasn't too much as people. I knew it was relating to his girlfriend.
Right.
Or whatever the case may be. But, like, look, okay, I ain't going to say his name.
She probably crazy too. He probably said that because she probably crazy and probably would have slid in your inbox.
She probably,
like, "What's up with that black heart? Don't be dropping no black hearts on his
right." She probably is crazy, but it was like a month or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
On his IG, I was like, "You be playing with fire," because, like, on his IG story, he posted. He had this post and it was like, "News hit different when they are unexpected."
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so I was like, I said something about him in a relationship or something like that. And, well, just to say he didn't get it from that person. But he posted it and they are social media friends. And I'm like, "Bruh, you wanna get fucked up."
Right.
So, let me tell you, I ain't the one to say. But, so, that was probably already like a red flag. And then, so, for her, so if I said something, she probably been looking at comments, trying to figure out who the person was anyway. Right.
She probably already been on your page, then look through your post and comment. Well, you don't post public.
This is on Instagram.
Yeah,
but my Instagram is public though. Like,
she haven't been. Yeah, if it's Instagram, she haven't been on your page. I'm just saying.
Get these looks.
I leave my looks. My page is public for a reason. Like, please come to my page.
Yeah.
While you here, like some shit.
My Facebook is private because of my job, but my Instagram, I leave that. For the world to see.
I invite all, everybody.
Lovers. Everyone is welcome, everyone.
Girlfriends,
exes, babymamas, newbies, girlfriends, everybody.
Chicks that think they're your girlfriends.
Come on. Chicks that want to be your girlfriend.
Come to my page. Like some shit while you're here. That's all I ask. You're going to be on my page.
Just
lurking.
Yes.
Just like some shit. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, it really worked for you. Because
you need a little view.
Yeah.
Something.
Because you got your little side hustle going on.
Yeah, my makeup, my influencer game up. I need all the views I can get. I'm trying to get all the views I can get. But don't inbox me about nobody. I don't even know these people. I'm like, who?
I don't know.
Who is that? I'm like, sis, we have the 8 kids. Like,
right.
Sis was like, first of all, baby girl inboxed her like, do you know him? And do you know we got 8 kids?
Right. Who got 8 kids? Sis. I said, look, she's like, I don't want you, I don't want him, nor y'all 8 kids.
She said,
I ain't doing
girl.
Shit for none of them
she
kids.
Was like, girl, fuck you and them kids.
She was like, I ain't gonna do shit for none of them kids, period.
Period, poo. Shit, fuck you and them 8 kids.
Yeah, and she was, that was okay.
If she was, messing with Buddy, she sure ain't messing with him now to find out about them 8 kids.
Look, that was probably her whole point. He got 8 kids, so I don't know if you want to fuck with him or not. Thank you, sis, for letting me know, because no, I don't want to fuck with him at kids.
Now, right. my pockets just okay? Seeing 8 kids.
It hurt my head. But have you, like, before you got married, have you ever, like, was shooting a shot a thing? But, like,
I feel like
it wasn't a thing until, like, recently.
I don't think I've ever, well, take that back. I did shoot my shot one time. This guy.
Did it go in? Was it a brick? Was it air ball? How did it?
It actually went well.
Okay.
And so, of course, this is before I was married. This was social media first started jumping off or whatever, and I had just got out of, you know, the nightmare that I was in.
With the kid.
Yeah. And so, I was on social media and I was like, I'm gonna just have boyfriend tryouts. Fuck it. I'm ready to date. I'm just gonna have boyfriend tryouts, you know, apply within.
I'm ready to mingle.
And so this one guy, he was like, oh, you have boyfriend tryouts, huh? Mm-hmm. Or whatever. I'm like, yeah, why, what's up?
What you here for?
What's up? Are you interested in the mm-hmm. gig or not?
You want the application or not?
Yeah, like, what's up? Let me see your resume. And so we pretty much were flirting on the post mm-hmm. or whatever, but he never hit me up. And my aunt knew him, and she was like, yeah, I know him. He's a cool guy. I'm like, okay. So she vouched for him. Yeah, she put in a good word. She like, she know him. He cool or whatever. I'm still waiting for him to DM, you know, slide him a DM. So I'm like, okay, he ain't sliding a DM. So he came back later, a couple days later, and commented on something else I posted. And I'm like, hey, I've been mm-hmm. waiting on you.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, waiting on me? I'm like, yeah. I'm still having the boyfriend tryouts, you know, I'm still holding your spot.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And he was like, word? I'm like, yeah. He's like, well, inbox me the number then. I'm like, okay. So I inboxed him my number and stuff, and we had kicked it for a while. We did. Okay. He turned out to be, he was a really good guy. He was really great. He's just, at the time, I had kids. He had kids, and he wasn't doing nothing for his kids.
Mm.
And it was just, that just.
So he really wasn't a good guy.
Yeah, it was just unattractive to me. He wanted to do everything with me and my kids, but
nothing.
I'm like, where's your kids?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the problem.
It was a big problem. It was a big red flag for me.
For sure. I have shot my shot a few times. Feel me?
Was it like Jordan Game 6 or what?
It was more like Jordan Game 6. I ain't gonna lie. You know what I'm saying? It was more like Jordan Game 6. It was more how, like, Iverson stepped over Lou. You know what I'm saying? Like, some shit like that. Not to, like, gas it. Not to gas it or anything. No, I'm kidding.
Jordan Game 6.
But, I mean, nothing that I feel like just became, like, straight dominant. As far as like communication going,
mm-hmm.
hang out and shit like that. Yeah, like that happened, but nothing so far has just been like long term.
Right. I don't think there's nothing wrong with women shooting their shot.
No.
Because I feel like if you're interested in someone, you feel like a man is your type.
If you know what you want.
If you know what you want, you see. Because we already done. By the time we looked at your page and figure out that we're interested in you, we done already did our investigation.
Whole research.
We done did our whole research.
Whole Sherlock Holmes.
Whole background check.
What? FBI, CIA.
We done liked every picture on your page.
We found out who your ex-girlfriend was, what she looked like, what she do for a living.
I say go for it, ladies. You on his page, you unlocked all his pictures. He still ain't slid in the inbox and got the picture. Shoot your shot. Slide in the DM.
Yeah, I mean, you know what you want in life. Why not? You know, why wait? I feel like we're no longer in the era of sitting back and waiting for things to happen to us. You know what I'm saying? It's like, no.
Social media makes it easy.
Yeah, you got the ability.
It take the awkwardness. It take the awkwardness out of it. Because you can just... Facebook used to have like the little poke button. And you just poke a person, they poke you back. You know what I'm saying? Now they had a wave. You just...
I remember that. And that shit used to freak me out. I ain't gonna lie. That poking thing used to...
That poke thing was... It was...
So poked you. And I'm like, that's weird.
Like, quit poking me.
Yeah, like that was like mad creepy to me. But yeah, now it has
a little wave, so it makes it to me, it makes it less awkward.
Yeah, I just feel like I feel like anybody with like a personality know how to like break the ice.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I think one time I kind of like got help from you guys.
It's like, shall I shoot my shot?
Yeah, shall I shoot my shot? What shall I say? You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
I had to hit it with the assist.
You know what I'm saying? You know? Alley hoop. But still, like, I feel like if you have a little personality about yourself, it doesn't take too much to do an icebreaker, say something funny, right, or whatever the case may be. You know, any little thing, you know. And then if you're a cute girl, not to like just put a lot of stuff on looks, but if you're an attractive person, you can really say just about anything and somebody gonna respond back.
Right, like, you can be real cheesy.
Yeah, it can be real corny. She
cute.
And even if you know it's corny, you can say something like, yeah, I knew that was corny, but you know. Right. And people gonna laugh at the shit.
Exactly.
So, but I think at the end of the day, it's all about confidence, because if you don't have confidence in yourself, you're not going to shoot the shot.
That's right.
And I think a lot of guys do dig that, because if you have and guys did chicks with confidence, that she just stepped to me and I'm like, basically, she want my number.
And men like that ego stroke.
Come on.
They hate to admit it, but they do. They like the ego shots for you to make.
She walked up to me. She said something to me. She was digging
the key.
Me.
Oh, she feeling the key.
Yeah, she feeling the kid.
Yeah. All of it. They do. They like that.
Yeah, she likes a little drip. Like,
yeah. It must have been the new Gucci belt. Y'all know what y'all be doing. Like, no, bro. It ain't what it was, but, you know.
You know, I thought you had that. Yeah, dope energy about yourself. You know, I had to say something.
Let me know up front though if I shoot my shot, if you got a crazy situation.
Right, because I mean, a lot of times you got a crazy situation, or you have a life that you don't publicize on social media, so people are left in limbo thinking that you single, but you got a whole life with somebody.
Your partner's not on Facebook, or they're not on your page, and
a lot of times the person who is on social media, they just not on their social media,
right? They're low key. I knew this guy who had like 4 or 5 pages.
See,
he had about 4 or 5 pages, and I was friends on one of his pages. He was single. On this page.
Keyword this.
But you know how people tag you and stuff. So one day I saw that he was tagged, but it was like 5 other pages that were tagged. And go to the other pages, and he's like married. I'm like, what's up with that? Now, I have two pages because my Facebook page is in jail right now. But I don't ever be on that page. Like,
it's nothing to where you live in a false life.
Yeah. Like, I haven't logged in that page since, like, 2012, I want to say. But this dude was very active.
In all his pages.
On all those pages. I'm like, that is crazy. And I'm like, how does she not see all these damn pages?
I really feel like people are comfortable with lies.
Right.
It's more comfortable to be like almost domain almost. It's like, I don't want to see it.
Right.
Because if I see it, I'm going to have to address it. And I don't want to address it.
Yeah, or she's probably addressed it before. He made her feel some type of way about it. Oh, I got this page because I'm an artist. Or I got this page because I'm trying to do this and do that. Because there's people out there that...
That's true. But in this era, especially...
People can follow your page.
Right, exactly. Especially in this era, too many people are using those things not to promote themselves. Mm-hmm. Not to promote their business or their brand, but to promote them as a different life. Because a lot of times... your significant other can't even be friends with these pages.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm pretty sure she's not friends with these pages. So even if he was trying to put on, oh, I got this and I got that, well, then why can't I be friends with these pages to help you promote that too? You know what I'm saying? I'm your business partner. And I'm trying to help you promote your shit.
Yeah, right.
But a lot of times I feel like people just don't want... It's more like... it's kind of like, what did Tamar mom say? If you ain't gonna leave, let them cheat in peace.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like a lot of times people are just not gonna address it. Or if they do address it, they ain't gonna leave.
Right. Yep. And it's probably making her feel as if it's nothing. But on the outside looking in, it looks like a bunch of something going on. It was just weird. Like, why do you have all these pages, you know?
Women, we're not stupid.
And it's not like you forgot your password and you just creating pages.
You are very active
on five different pages. Like, how do you even keep up with that?
And it's like, women, we're not stupid. We're not stupid. We're not dumb. We have a God-given gift that's called intuition. Mm-hmm. Our issue is we ignore it because of what we want to see or we don't want to see.
You're very single on this one page, but then you have this other page. You're a family man. You married. Everything's about your wife and kids.
And I'm sure that's the page she's friends with.
And then on this other page, it's just you. Like, you just out here just doing you. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's crazy.
Yeah. And people...
Nobody... And I'm like, you mutual friends with your family on both pages, and ain't nobody said, bro, why are you on this page just... You have a split... I'm telling you, I'll be looking at everybody.
But then you have to look at it too. You know, why would family say something to him if it's something that has been accepted in the family?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Because a lot of times people don't just develop these characteristics.
Be generational.
Right. Shit.
You're right. You're absolutely right about that. I feel like now. Like, if I was a single woman dating, I would seriously, if somebody was pursuing me, I would have to ask them what their childhood was like.
Mm-hmm. You have to.
What was your childhood like?
Was it survival or love? Because those are two different experiences.
Yeah. Like, I need to know how your childhood was. I need to know what your mental state is. Yeah. Like, where are you at in your head right now before anything else? How was your childhood? Like, how was your parents? How did you grow up? Because a lot of people grow up seeing so much
chaos,
and it's I think it's PTSD
when it comes to certain things, especially PTSD.
Like relationship wise. Like a lot of relationships are edgy, or you know what I'm saying, are the incompatibility is because of the PTSD that you grew up seeing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You think this way is right because it's where you what you grew up mm-hmm. seeing. Mm-hmm. That
you don't see anything else.
You don't see nothing else. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So if it's your mother cheating or your father cheating, you grew up seeing that. So you have trust issues from the jump. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm 30, finna be 34 years old, and it's some shit that I found out, and I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, this man I thought was my grandfather, not my grandfather.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Which I knew, because as I got older and I started building connection or recognizing certain connections with people, I never connected with this man. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just something about him, like, when he got developed dementia, he really treated me like I was like a demon or something. Like, it was crazy. But I already knew, like, I didn't have no connection with him. Like, I already knew he was my grandfather.
Yeah.
Before I even found out he was my grandfather.
Yeah. Yeah, I just feel like, I think for me, I think my blessing was the majority of the people in my family are married. Mm-hmm. And not just married, but like, healthy relationships. Mm-hmm. So I've seen different type of dynamic of relationships and how different type of relationships have worked according to who those individuals were.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, my mom's baby sister, they've been married, her and her husband been married for 26 years. My aunt cooks more. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, my uncle Hardy, like, you know, every now and then he'll, like, do some breakfast. He puts mm-hmm. some slices of bacon in the oven. That's about all he can do. You know what I'm saying? But my aunt is the main cooker. But my grandmother's youngest sister, mm-hmm. you know, her husband has been married 35, something like years, or maybe more than that. No, 40 years, because my cousin, because she was 40, so they've been married 40 years. My Uncle Ricky is a cooker. Like, he used to be a chef, that's his thing. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? You know, he helped clean up too. You know what I'm saying? It's a balance, mm-hmm. a different kind of balance they have. So I grew up just seeing different type of dynamics of relationships. And for me, it's like I found out that there's not a one size fits all. Right. That's why when people come up with these memes, he's supposed to pay this, she's supposed to pay that.
She's supposed to do this and supposed to do that.
For me, I'm like, from the family I grew up in, you do what's best for your relationship.
Right.
And about where everybody else did, because that might not work for you.
That gender role,
yeah,
mindset,
right?
A woman is supposed to do this, and a man is supposed to do that.
Right?
Like, we're so hung up on about this gender role,
or what our grandparents did, or what mm-hmm. our and it's like it's a lot of shit that y'all probably don't know that went down between your grandparents while you keep trying to mimic their relationship goes.
Oh, it was. There was a whole lot of stuff.
A whole lot of stuff. A whole lot. Look, I dated this guy. I ain't gonna say his name. Dated this guy. And we briefly lived in Chicago. Mm-hmm. So you gonna already know what I'm talking about. And I remember being at his grandmother's house. Right? Mm-hmm. She lived in on the west side of Chicago, and just talking to her about like infidelity and stuff, mm-hmm. and listening to her saying how she found her husband like at a motel once.
And it's a Rolling Stone.
Mm-hmm. I want to say, I could be wrong, but I want to say she did something to his finger. I don't know if she cut his finger off, broke his finger. Something like that she did. So it's like, if that wasn't the first and it wasn't the last time he cheated. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it was a lot of, your granddad, he might have paid all the bills and stuff, but he took a lot of our grandmothers through hell. Mm-hmm. Through hell. And he controlled a lot of it because he paid all the bills.
Right.
And I noticed that sometimes those dynamic links, paying the bills and having control.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then a lot of men feel a lot of insecurities behind not paying a certain amount or a certain percentage because they feel like if they do, if they don't, then they won't have a certain amount of control. A lot of masculinity relies on control for some reason. Mm-hmm. To me, that's toxic.
It is.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's toxic. Like, that's, control should never be a part of your characteristics, male or female.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
As far as a relationship.
Yeah.
You should be able to have that mean you're supposed to that. You should be able to have outside relationships right. with other people.
Right.
Other than your significant other being your only source.
Right. So how do people, for instance, how do you navigate in your relationship with friends of both sexes? Like, do you feel like it's okay to have a friend from an opposite sex that you had before you got into a relationship that led to your marriage, and to continue to have that friendship? Or do you feel like, now that you're married and you're with this person, I need to let those friendships go?
I didn't let none of my friendships go with any other like opposite sex. Like, one of my good friends, we're still good friends, and my husband has met him. Mm-hmm. I've met, you know, his good friends that are the opposite sex. That type of stuff do not bother me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not bothered about outside friendships mm-hmm. at all. Like, even with, if you have like an ex or whatever, because I know my role. I know the position that I play in my mm-hmm. relationship. I'm not threatened mm-hmm. about, you know, anybody.
Right, just a certain level of confidence.
I'm not threatened by anyone. A lot of times, the friends aren't the toxic people. Sometimes it's the family.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
Like, that's true. You're not even not worried about the friendship. Sometimes it's the family, mm-hmm. and that's because of the generational, the how someone was raised, you know what I'm right. saying? And they try to spew that into your right. household
right.
or whatever. But I feel like a lot of us, especially 80s babies, I feel like a lot of us need therapy.
Yeah, for sure. Like,
the era that we grew up in, it's like we had Madea, we had our papa, granny, and all this stuff, but we were able to see this certain dynamic household. A lot of our parents were single parents.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? A lot right. of us didn't have
two-parent household.
I was able to have four parents. Mm-hmm. My mom was married. My dad mm-hmm. was married. But, you know what I'm saying? It was two different structures.
Right.
Two different households, two different structures. Yeah, I have four parents, but... You know what I'm saying? My mom and my stepdad were a lot stricter mm-hmm. than my dad and my stepmom.
Gotcha.
They were more lenient. They were more laid back
yeah.
type of parenting. Nah, I could do what the hell I want to do.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do what the hell I want to do.
Right, right.
Because I wasn't raised. I was already not raised that way.
Right.
So I was brought up in a strict household. So whenever I did go visit my father and my stepmom, I didn't have time. I didn't want to just, you know,
you're probably more hesitant anyway. I probably could have
got away with a lot more here mm-hmm. than
there. Yeah.
Or whatever, because my parents were very strict.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I feel like a lot of our generation, we do need therapy because a lot of people did grow up like that, and it's kind of confusing. So now that we have kids, it's like the parenting, the structure is like, should you be more strict? Should you be laid back? You don't want to be too hard on your kids, but you.
I think we might be the first generation that really like had the percentage of kids growing up in survival mode.
Right.
You know, like, I know, like, that has happened through every era.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like the breakdown of the 80s did more damage than any other era.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like most of us have more of a either survival mode mentality, or we didn't grow up with positive influences as for a male and female. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of us don't know how to navigate between the two. Right. Most of us say, being a woman and you had a strong female influence, but you probably didn't have a strong male influence, so you really don't know how to navigate with men, right, because you didn't have that, not a positive one. Mm-hmm. And same for men, you know what I'm saying? They might not have a positive male, so I feel like they struggle too on how to navigate themselves, because no one really passed the torch, right, to them to show them how to do it properly. We've done a lot of damage too with our men as being children. I feel like, first of all, we really don't really raise our men. We kind of like just nurture them, mm-hmm, but we raise the girls, but we don't raise the boys. You know, we just really, right, nurture them. On top of, we disconnect our boys from emotions at a very young age.
Right.
A very young age. So when they get to a certain age, a lot of times they don't know how to navigate emotions. That's why they flip out. That's why they prefer to rather be physical and fight or shoot, mm-hmm, or whatever the case may be, because we didn't teach them how to have emotions and how to navigate through them.
Right, and how to handle pressure. Because men suffer from depression too. Men
of
suffer.
Course.
Men have anxiety. They, yeah, have just like us.
Just like us. It's nothing different. Right. And that's why I feel like, you know, we tell our boys, oh, don't cry, don't do this, don't be a sissy, get up, do it. But we don't have conversations. How do you feel about this?
Right. How are you feeling?
How are you feeling?
Are you okay?
Yeah.
With.
Then why are you upset? What caused you to be upset about this? What caused you to cry about this? Like, my brother went through a phase where I felt like he was crying, like whining a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't tell him not to cry. I told him that if there's something that you feel like he needs to cry about, mm-hmm, you definitely cry. I said, but I'm gonna need you to communicate your emotions to me.
Right.
Let's talk about why you feel the way that you do. You know, we don't do those to our little boys. Yeah. And so then they become grown ass men and they get in relationships, and then now a woman wants to say, well, what's wrong with you? And we mad at them because they can't tell us what's wrong with them. They don't know how to tell us what's wrong with them.
Right.
And then we got to sit here and try to help guide them because the mothers didn't do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's what I feel like. Especially our generation. Like when our parents needed help, they had their parents,
right,
to help raise us. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like they had the village. Now we don't have the village no more. We don't have Medea. We don't have, mm-hmm, you know what I'm saying? Our parents are young, so they're still trying to live their life before retirement. You know what I'm saying? Like they're still trying to build foundations and things like that. But meanwhile, we already have our kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And me and Gianni cried the other day. I cried with Gianni because she's in middle school now. And she came to me and she was like, Mom, I'm just overwhelmed. And I'm like, you're overwhelmed?
By what?
Just the thought of being in middle school. She's 6 years old. I mean, not 6 years. She's in sixth grade. She's in sixth grade. She's 11 and she's in the sixth grade. But they have the sixth graders in the school,
yeah,
with the seventh and eighth graders.
Yeah.
And so it kind of scared her because she's like, y'all think I'm supposed to know everything. I guess the type of environment they expect the kids to, you know, it's middle school. We're trying to teach them to be more independent.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, baby, I'm going to tell you something. You're a preteen. You're my only preteen. Mm-hmm. I never did this before. It's my first time, too. You know what I'm saying?
This is my first rodeo.
This is my first rodeo, okay? I'm crying with her. I'm like, baby, let me tell you. I'm like, Mama, I'm here. I need you to be... I need you to help me too, because mm-hmm, I have two other your siblings. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I get it right with you so that I can get it right with them,
mm-hmm,
or whatever. Like, this is my first time too as a parent raising a preteen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like we're on this journey together. I had to let her understand that, mm-hmm, that we are in this together.
Mm-hmm.
or whatever. Like, whatever comes this year, whatever she, you know what I'm saying, things that's going to come up while we're in middle school, like, we're on this journey together. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You know?
That's crazy, though. It's crazy that Gianna's in middle school. Because it's like, we met in middle school.
Right. She in middle school, and I'm like,
so, like, now she's in middle school, and I'm like, that's, like, she's probably, like, a year younger than us. They're like, because we didn't start at well, because I was in the 7th, he was in the 8th. Mm-hmm. But, and so, she started, so she's, like, a year younger than me. But that's just how time was just weird. Like,
it's crazy.
But, yeah, I definitely agree. And it's just, like, I feel, too, that this era, this is an era where I feel like is self-healing. Mm-hmm. I just feel like that's just a part of, like, maybe that's a part of Age of Aquarius, too. It's part of it is healing. And I feel like the reason why a lot of us have started the path of, therapy is because... I think there is a lot of generational things that has resurfaced,
right,
to get the healing too.
Right.
Like, maybe our ancestors are...
We're going to take a brief break and we're going to come back and we're going to talk about therapy.
Okay.
Okay, so we're back and we're talking about generational curses and how to start the path of breaking generational curses and how important mental health is. So I know we were saying that therapy is a good idea.
Yeah, I just feel like a lot of stuff is coming up and I think our ancestors are basically coming through us. Mm-hmm. Right now, because there's things that has happened with them that right. that is a part of our lineage that needs to be healed from. And so that's why I feel like right now is probably why even a lot of Black people that are not publicly speaking about it, mm-hmm. there's so many of us that have started the path of therapy. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's so amazing. I know I went on to my one of my work pages and ask for any recommendations like in the DFW mm-hmm. area, and I got so many comments from Black people that recommended the therapist they have been going to.
Black people doing therapy.
And I never thought that I would be like seeing that. And then, I mean, I got more than 30 comments of people just suggesting mm-hmm. like who they have been seeing, and I was like, oh my gosh. It got to the point where people were like piggybacking off of, and it was like, hey, do anybody know somebody in Chicago? Anybody know somebody in Charlotte? Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is so great, because so many of us is like, what our parents and grandparents and generations before us have done to heal, we're seeing that it may not work for us anymore, and let us try something different. We have gone through some of the most traumatic experiences, and I think that with anybody who is indigenous to this earth, we have gone through so many traumatic things that we definitely right. need to be.
I think it's hard to be an individual when you carry so much, mm. when that load is heavy.
Yeah,
there's a saying that you carry it well, but it's heavy.
Yeah.
You carry it well, but it's heavy. And a lot of us are carrying it well.
Very
but
well.
It's very heavy. Yeah. It's really heavy. Even myself, you yeah. know what I'm saying, at times, like, I went through a period where I was having anxiety, and I had to take a moment to myself and think, why am I feeling like this? Mm-hmm. Why do I feel like I have to be a certain standard or a certain...
on the outside.
You know what I'm saying? For other people, whether it be your parents, because they want to hold you to a high standard. Mm-hmm. When you have kids, you have your kids depending on you, and you mm-hmm. feel like you're letting them down, or you feel like you've you're failing them, mm-hmm. or you feel like you're failing as a
person,
just as a whole, and just thinking about your grandparents, like, well, then, well, I want my people to be proud of me. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Not knowing that just being you should be a proud moment. Mm-hmm. Just being the individual that you are, and the individuality should be something to be proud of. Yeah. Not, you know, well, I should have been a doctor, I should have been a lawyer, or yeah. whatever. We're not teaching our kids that having a trade is okay.
Right. And that's important too. That's definitely important. I mean, we're walking away from trades and only talking about paper. And I remember Kanye West's first album, College Dropout, mm-hmm. and the whole skit basically for the whole album was what's the College Dropout? It was College Dropout. Mm-hmm. The whole skit for the whole damn album was basically talking about getting degrees. Mm-hmm. And then it gets to the final skit, and the guy who was just like all about getting his degrees had died, and he had a son, and mm-hmm. his son was like, my dad is not here, but you know what? He left me all these degrees. And I can't do nothing with it, but you know, I'm proud of these damn degrees.
Right.
It was like, but that's all you left.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
All you have left.
You didn't, there was nothing that you left for your child to be able to pick up and continue to race with, you know?
Probably some student loan debt.
Right, exactly. And that's it. So it's like, yeah, because if you learn a trade, you can create a business.
Right.
Behind that trade. Yeah, with some degrees too, but you can really do a great profitable business with trade, and then what you learn you can teach your children, and they can learn a trade while they're, you know,
but that what's crazy is that they are teaching our children now trades while they're in school. Like, I know last year they implemented coding to kids.
Yeah, no. My little brother's been doing coding for a few years now.
And app developing mm-hmm. their own applications. Jenna's taking robotics this year. And I'm like, what?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My little brother's in engineering.
I'm like, yeah. I need to go back to school. Mm-hmm. Like, they weren't doing this when, you know.
Well, they used to.
Elementary and things like that.
When we were in school, they didn't do it. But our parents' generation, mm-hmm. they learned trades in high school. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So they are basically going back. And I know a lot of inner city schools, especially like back in the 70s and I think the early 80s, mm-hmm. a lot of them learned trades. Like, they would graduate from high school with a trade.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they would go to a specific magnet school for plumbing or electrician or whatever. Right.
They have like automotive and
automotive stuff and
things like that. And
once you graduate from high school, you already know how you can get a job because you already certified in that trade.
You're having a trade.
Yeah.
And I was just like that that's the type of stuff I want to instill in my kids. Like, mm-hmm. you don't have to play basketball, you don't mm-hmm. have to play football, you don't have to be the biggest athlete, you don't have mm-hmm. to be a doctor, a lawyer, a nurse, whatever. You can be whatever you want to be.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Be you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times, just telling that kid to be themselves brings out their creativity.
True.
And it doesn't hold them back
yeah.
from mm-hmm. their full potential. Because a lot of times we hold our kids back, you know, mm-hmm. pushing this agenda on them. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile,
instead of letting them be who they are and just help guide them through it.
Right.
You know, not mold them, guide them through their creativity and mm-hmm. who they are. Like, anybody know me? No, I freaking love Zaza on Instagram. That is my honorary niece. Okay, anybody know me knows Red Carpet Girls, that's really my niece. But I tell her parents all the time, like, I'm so glad the way that you guys raise her, because y'all don't try to dim her light or like, you're doing too much. Mm-hmm. Or, no, y'all let her be who she is. Y'all mm-hmm. just guiding her through it. You know what I'm saying? And that's important, because too many times we subconsciously,
you're talking too much, you're doing this,
subconsciously,
sit down.
Exactly, we're subconsciously dimming their light when they're meant to be so bright.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I definitely agree. And I think that has a lot to do with just generational things that we have to break. And like for me, I started therapy and it was nothing like I was like, oh my gosh, I got all these problems. Let me start. I need to go to therapy. It was just like, I think I'm good. I really feel like I'm good. But I just want to like maybe see if there's rocks I need to overturn to make sure that I'm good. You know what I'm saying?
I think it's dope. When you told me, I thought, I'm like, that's really dope.
Yeah.
Like, I would recommend therapy to anybody. I recommend it for myself.
I don't recommend it to any person that's black.
Right.
Period.
Black people doing therapy. We out here.
We out here in these streets.
Out here getting healed.
But you know what, though? The craziest thing. And I know my aunt meant nothing bad behind it. Mm-hmm. But I told my aunt, it's like, yes. I was like, yeah. So I just started therapy last week. She was like, oh, you started therapy? She's like, oh, okay. And I was like, yeah, I found this lady. She's, you know, a black woman. And I was referred to her, blah, blah, blah. She was like, oh, okay. She's like, is she a Christian? And I was like, I couldn't tell you if she was or not. That was not a concern of mine.
Right. Well, a lot of people think that. When you say that, like, people recommend counseling, they want to refer you to the church.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's like,
I'm good on it.
A lot of people in the church need counseling themselves.
Yeah.
You know?
And I'm sitting here like, and I told her, she's like, I was like, you know, I'm like, it didn't matter to me if she was a Christian or not. She was like, well, not so much as Christian, but, you know, is she spiritual? I said, well, honestly, for me, I just needed her to help me mentally.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I got my spiritual side. I said, I just needed somebody professionally to guide me mentally. I said, because I was like, to me, I can see how you connect those two. But to me, I'm more like a church and state. I'm separating the two.
Right.
You know, I do this for my spiritual side and I do this for my mental side. And yes, sometimes they do merge together. But when I'm healing them separately because I feel like they need two different things. I don't need a professional to help me spiritually.
I was going to say something, but I'm a...
What?
I'm not going to go there.
Say
Because a lot of people refer you, like, when you're going through a lot, when the load is too heavy, and you try to reach out, the first thing they want to do is
pray for you.
Either pray for you or guide you to the church.
Always.
And the first thing the church will do is tell you to go read a scripture.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Give you all these scriptures, and then it's like, but how is this helping me?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Pray and wait. You know what I'm saying? Wait until a lot of times, depending on the situation, you can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You're going to drive yourself even more crazy.
Yeah, I don't mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Being stagnant.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's just a thing that the reason why we're like that is just one of those generational things because for so long, the church has been like the pinnacle point or center for the community. So wherever you meet, you go there, you know? And so I think that's like, you know, that's what your mama told you. That's what your grandma told you. That's what your great grandma, you know what I'm saying? So it's just like that. And I'm not saying anything against the church because I know there are some churches that have good counseling programs.
Mm-hmm.
I know my cousin went to a counseling program within her church,
mm-hmm.
and she was telling me her experience, and I thought it was a pretty dope experience, mm-hmm. which how she was explaining to me. But for me, in my journey wasn't led for me to go to the church for my counseling or therapy or whatever the case may be.
Right.
For me and my path, I felt like in my spirit, I need a black woman.
Right.
Not even a black person. I need a black woman. I need somebody that understands me as a woman. I need somebody that understands me as being black. I need somebody that's aware of the culture and aware of my gender.
Right.
Exactly. So that's what I went to, who I started going to. So definitely, you know, you go for what fits you, but don't necessarily go with what everybody is telling you to do either. You know, listen to what your spirit is telling you to do, because your spirit is only going to talk to you about it. So that message ain't going to get across to everybody else. Right. You know what I'm saying? But
it's not a one size fits all situation. A one size fits all. And a lot of times we treat things like that as a one size. Yeah. Well, it worked for this person.
Because everybody has different level of shit.
Right.
Everybody doesn't have the same mind, and everybody doesn't have the same level of things or the same type of things they're dealing with. We're dealing with depression. We're dealing with addiction. We're dealing with generational stuff. We're dealing with molestation. We're dealing with so much bipolar. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of stuff within our community that we are dealing with. And sometimes you need somebody who is a professional.
Right.
That can guide you through certain things to help you with certain things. Like, I'm not going to tell somebody just to go to the church if they dip down in addiction.
Right.
Like, yes, I believe in prayer, but I also believe in the work. And that, for me, that ain't the type of work you need. You need to go to a facility that is experienced in this type of disease that can help you navigate through it.
Exactly.
You know, so that's just been my whole experience with it. I mean, but I feel like, you know, we all being Black people living in this country, living in this world, and living with the lineage that has been like embedded in our DNA, we all need some form of therapy.
Yes.
Because too many of us are self-medicating.
Right.
And that's why we see the world as we see it with our people. It's because too many of us are self-medicating.
We are definitely self-medicating and
popping shit, drinking shit,
smoking. I saw a meme the other day. It was like, if you have to smoke a blunt and then turn around and smoke a cigarette afterwards, you are stressed.
Yeah.
Go get help.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that
mm-hmm.
on so many levels, because it's like, you're doing one thing and do another thing to try to cover it up. And
yeah.
it's just pure chaos. Yeah. It's just, you know, bullshit on top of bullshit.
And everything's a temporary fix.
Temporary. Those things are temporary. Because when you come down from that high,
it's still there.
You're right back.
And you need something else to help you avoid that.
You know,
numb you from this. Numb, cover up.
That's
this.
When you start. Oh, I need something stronger.
Mm-hmm. That's when the shit gets stronger and stronger. So I'm definitely an advocate for therapy. I just, like I said, I'm not ashamed. You know, Black people with mental health wellness this is our time.
Yes.
Shout out to Charlamagne, who's been talking about this shit for years.
For
years, especially with Black men and therapy. But we all need the therapy. But we have so many mental, like, to grow up in this type of environment, and not saying like your particular community, your particular hood, but to grow up in this environment as being Black Americans, being Black in America,
right?
We carry a certain type of PTSD that is so normalized that we just feel like that's just how we are.
I think we're already born. We're born into this world with PTSD.
Yeah, well, because
already embedded in our DNA.
Yeah, for sure.
Because our ancestors.
For sure.
The things that they had to go through.
For sure.
And we feel that. Like, people think we're not connected.
It's embedded in our DNA.
We're not connected to our, and we are very connected to our ancestors
and our blood and our spirit. A lot of times, I believe in reincarnation. A lot of times we are of the spirits of one of our ancestors.
Right.
Coming back to live this experience.
Coming back.
You know? So,
And remembering.
Yeah. And then when little shit happens that...
We're triggered.
Especially because a lot of stuff are happening today that happened 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, yes, 80 years ago, 130 years ago. You know, we're still not living in a world where we're not living in, we don't have to be defensive. Like, I was talking to somebody not too long ago, and I was like, the reason why we're the way that we are, because we're talking about personal space.
Right.
That's what we're doing. We're talking about personal space and what's the difference between how us being Black people treat personal space and how, like, white people treat personal space.
Right.
And somebody was saying something about, you know, we don't like somebody just to walk up on us, or we don't like somebody just to be in our space. And I think I was talking to Jenna about it. Mm-hmm. And we basically came to the conclusion, like, oh, we are like that because of our history in this country. We've always had to play defense. We were never just able just to play offense.
Right.
So, historically, a white person run up on you or something like that, they were trying to catch you or whatever the case may be.
Right.
Talk about slavery era or civil rights era. You know what I'm saying? So you've always had to be aware of your surroundings.
Right.
You didn't want anybody to get too close to you. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Somebody, especially somebody you don't know. You know what I'm saying? So we've never been in this country, not in the last 400 years been in this country and been able to be offensive, just worry about the next play. We've always had to prepare ourselves for what's happening right now.
Right. For the strike,
right,
against us. What's next? It's always,
yeah.
Yeah, it's always something with us. And I had posted a meme, and it was about, it wasn't offensive. I thought it was funny when I posted it, but mm-hmm. apparently,
others thought differently.
Huh?
Others thought differently.
Yes, some people took it a little offensive about it. It was about using dush and things like that, or whatever. And it was like,
did I see this one?
I think you did.
I commented on it.
Yeah. So I was like, we need to talk about this next episode. Because somebody got offensive and they got offended. I don't know if she got offended. She was just like, well, you should educate.
Oh, it's not, a lot of people. Don't shame people. Just educate them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember
so
that.
It's about, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't offensive, but we're living in a time. It was funny to me because of the fact that we're taught a certain thing. And they teach us this thing that's bad for us. And we grow up thinking it's good for us. That it's the right way. That, mm-hmm. that it's good. It's healthy for us. But in the long run, it's really killing us. It's really making us unhealthy.
Yeah, infertile.
And as a Black woman, our infertility in our community is dropping.
Yeah.
I've spoken to so many women, and it surprised me how so many women are getting their reproductive organs taken out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why? Mm-hmm. Well, I was having fibroids, and I was doing this, and I was doing that. I'm like, but the solution, the first thing is not to remove your organs. You know what I'm saying?
I was just having a conversation on Facebook about this today, because I made the post mm-hmm. saying that there are 700 women per year, about 700 women per mm-hmm. year in this country that die childbirth related.
Mm-hmm.
57% of those are Black women.
Wow.
More than four times the amount are Black women. And we had a whole conversation about it because for me, I was like, I feel like more of us should get Black doctors.
Right.
Because for me, I feel like they're not as quick to remove, cut, surgery, do surgery, whatever mm-hmm. the case may be. If it's going to be something that's going to be permanent,
right.
they aren't as quick. And I gave a scenario, I gave two scenarios, but the one scenario I gave was when I was having all those issues back in 2016. And that night, I had went through emergency. All they gave, all they took was a urine sample and told me I had a UTI, which I knew I didn't have a UTI.
Right.
He didn't give me anything for the pain. I told him I've been in pain for like 2 or 3 days. He gave me anything for the pain. I said I haven't been able to keep anything down. He didn't give me any fluids. None of that. I went back less than 12 hours later. This is one of the times you dropped me off.
Mm-hmm.
No. This is the time that I drove myself, but you met me to pick me up. And the second, so I went 12 hours later, and I had a black woman. And so I told her, like, yeah, I was just here last night. And she was like, so she was just asking these questions. She was like, okay, let me hook you up with the IV, give you some fluids. She was like, did you drive? And I was like, my friend is picking me up. She said, okay, I'm gonna give you some pain meds for it, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, what tests they run on you? And I was like, all they did was a urine sample. That was it. It was like, they didn't get any blood work. And I was like, no, like, they didn't give you any fluids. No, they didn't do a pelvic, nothing. She was so livid. She ran every test that she could run for me. She gave me pain meds and fluids, everything. All the way to she was like, you can be admitted if you want to. She was like, I think you should be okay to go home. If you want to, you can be admitted. By that time, you were already there.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, no, my friend is here. She's going to take me home. But yeah, that was my two. The other guy, I want to say he was Asian.
Mm-hmm.
But those were my two different experiences. And I know in the medical world that they really think black women can really, really tolerate pain and we can be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck that.
Right.
Erase that bullshit and that ideology there. No. Don't treat us different. Like we can take this shit. Because over history and over time, y'all been making us take shit. Like, no, treat us like y'all treat everybody else. As gentle as you treat everybody else. But those were my two experiences with that. And then I remember when I had to be admitted, and they were talking about, like, removing things.
Right.
Part of my reproductive organs, whatever. Not my uterus, but part of my reproductive organs. And Jessica referred me to her dad's friend, who was a black doctor. And I went to him, and he got all my notes, and I told him everything. He was like, well, we're not going to do that yet. We're going to run some more tests. Let's do this, and this. I'm gonna refer you to a fertility specialist. We'll see what they have to say. I'm just not going to go jump up and do surgery.
The first thing they want to recommend is to strip our womb. Like, That's so crazy.
And I'm only 32, and that was my experience. Right. So I'm sitting here like, I tell anybody, like, for me, you know, you definitely go with the doctor that you feel like you connect the best with. I said, but for me, it just end up being black doctors, because to me, they are the ones that have more compassion for me and not so quick to treat me like a number or so quick to perform a procedure on me that was maybe not necessary. Because if you take something out, that's it.
Right.
There's no going back.
And they take it, and then they want to feed you synthetic hormones and things like that.
Because your body can no longer produce those hormones because you took things that produce the hormones.
Right. And so I was, my point of the meme was, it was funny, but at the same time, it was like,
awareness. You know what?
We do need to be aware, because that pickled uterus, that's for real. That's not no joke.
Mm-hmm.
That is for real. You shouldn't put any synthetic chemicals inside your body, like they had linked the perms to fibroids.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Like, just like they link perms to fibroids in black women, we are the only people that were getting fibroids and things like that.
I just told my aunt that my aunt is dealing with fibroids, and I told her that too.
And then with the feminine products, you don't need that.
If your vagina is healthy, it's self cleans.
It's all about what you put into your body. You have to give your body what it needs to keep your pH in balance and keep your uterus strong and your pelvic floors, exercises you can do to keep your pelvic floor strong and things like that, rather than the solution to be remove it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And that's and like it's okay to like use certain things. It's just certain things are not supposed to be injected into your
inserted into your body.
Like if you put some vinegar or whatever into your bath water, that's fine.
Right.
That's different, because if you sit in it, that's different than you having a tool to push stuff up.
Push it up.
Because you're pushing up bacteria that doesn't belong in certain areas of your body. Like there's good bacteria that's in your vagina in a certain area that you're pushing up to another place that's not supposed to be.
Right. Yeah.
You know? So it's just we need, I feel like it's important for us to have a healthy dialogue about what good practices are for our bodies, for feminine
health.
Yeah, for sure. Because we were taught too many wrong things.
Right. Definitely.
Like women don't know to really like consume a certain amount of like yogurt.
Mm-hmm. To keep your healthy bacteria.
We have bacteria.
Healthy bacteria. We require men don't have to go through that.
Right.
But probiotics.
Taking probiotics. Drinking kombucha juice or eating yogurt and stuff like that.
And all that, and like that's important, because that stuff keeps your feminine working properly, like it's supposed to. And sometimes people, you eat certain things, and the first thing they tell you is you got a UTI. A lot of times it just be your pH balance is off because it's something you ate. You don't let so-and-so touch on you.
Fingernails dirty,
you know what I'm saying, and things like that. And it's ways to prevent that, you know what I'm saying? Like, you want to make sure that you're eating cranberries, eating avocados, and
eating fruit. Period. Just eating fruit.
And then if you do get in a situation, because sometimes you can't prevent it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Every woman's gonna go through the little UTI period. You mean, sometimes it's just you can't help it. But instead of running and going to get antibiotics that's gonna throw your pH balance off even worse, I'm one of those people who cannot take antibiotics because I'm fucked up. 2 days later, I'm all the way messed up. And it's just because I have a sensitive gut.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, my gut is sensitive to... I'm sensitive to any medicine, period. But for some reason, antibiotics, I have the worst reaction to antibiotics ever. And if I'm ever feeling like, okay, I'm getting a little UTI coming on, I go get my Demanous. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Take your Demanous. That's vitamin C.
Yeah.
Alkaline water. You know what I'm saying?
Don't drink alkaline water. Or people need to understand like the importance of drinking tea. I got so much tea up here. It's not even funny. I got tea for everything.
Yeah, I'm a tea drinker too. I drink. Did I tell you about that one tea? What was that tea I ever recommended you? Was it the pregnancy tea that
helped with the hormones? Oh, pregnancy tea.
It's not for just... The pregnancy tea is not to get pregnant, but it will keep your hormones, your moon cycles in check.
I'm out of the pregnancy tea. I just have these two left. But I drink... I did start off a heavy tea drinker. Like, I used to hate, until this very day, I still don't like sweet tea. I used to really, 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 really hate tea. I just started drinking it once because, what was it? Like, oh, I think like maybe like a yeast infection or something. Mm-hmm. And they have this berry detox that I drunk because I recommended to me. And I drunk, I double bagged, and I drunk it for a day and a half, 2 days. I did the yoga and all that kind of stuff. It was gone.
It was gone. That's like if I feel yeah, like it's coming on.
It was
red raspberry tea, all of that. Yeah, like
it was
that,
gone, like completely.
Clear it up.
But this lady, this Hispanic lady, she was from Puerto Rico. She was a flight attendant, and we were just having random conversations on the jump seat one day, and she told me about it. She was like, "Oh, she said UTI. She said HIPAA word UTI," and she's like, she's like, yeah, because she's into more like holistic stuff, whatever. Mm-hmm. And she was like, yeah, I just double bagged and I was drinking it and it was gone. And so when I felt like I was getting a yeast infection, I was like, I wonder if that would work for her. And I drunk it. First of all, the drink just tastes wonderful. You add some lemon to it, it's great. It tastes like lemonade. But that and the yogurt and stuff, I was fine. You know, completely fine.
And now they have Yoni Steams now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
My aunt, I follow that one chick. Do you follow her?
Who?
That's with the N. She's on Instagram.
Is that the one that be selling the oil that everybody's talking about? The Yoni oil.
I don't think she's selling.
Well, my aunt, she does Yoni Steams at the shop.
Okay.
I haven't gotten one yet, but I'm definitely looking into doing it soon. Yes, I do follow her.
I freaking love her.
I love her too.
But she's the first person I ever saw talk about
the Yoni Steams and the beads and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, the detox beads and things like that. Yeah, I definitely recommend it. They said that.
Like a new woman.
A whole new woman. So, I mean,
like a spa for your vagina.
Right. A spa for the kitty. But definitely changing lives, though. You know what I'm saying? Instead of...
We're going holistic again. And I think that's a beautiful thing.
I think it's dope.
Such a beautiful thing. I think society
is... We're going back to our roots.
Yeah, society is scared right now behind it because... It's dropping pharmaceutical things, you know what I'm saying? And like more women are doing like doulas and midwives, like that's increasing.
I was in Facebook jail, but someone made a post and was like, are all doulas witches?
Let me tell you, I trust a Buddha. A Buddha. Is it Buddha?
A Buddha.
I trust them. But I mean, it's just people try to use the term like witches and stuff for... Like, it's always been done for people who do holistic things, you know what I'm saying? Right. Things are not conventional of what Western medicine. People always try to use that with them, but
witch, voodoo, and all.
You know, I particularly just want to have like a doula or a midwife in a hospital because I'm scared.
You say scared?
Yeah, I just want to do like have a midwife or a doula in a hospital. Like to have a room, whatever, where I can move around and I can like, cause I know some hospitals, and I know how some hospitals would allow that and allow like water births and stuff to happen, you know, because I do with like Jessica there, you know, tag teaming with like a doula, but yeah, I just think it's so beautiful that we're going back, you know, because we're seeing how unhealthy we are.
We're going back to our roots, going back to the land, letting the land heal us and living off the land.
Right. And honestly, right now, it's not as beneficial because the land is not healthy anymore.
Right. Like the rainforest burning for 4 weeks. The shit was crazy.
Yeah, that's the government doing that shit there in the Amazon, in Brazil. Their president is not that much different than Trump.
I'm like, that shit. That is
so
crazy.
And then in the indigenous people just won the court case too.
Right.
For the land.
Mm-hmm.
Against a big oil company. And then a few weeks later, then the rainforest catches on fire. So, That's just big corporations. Somebody said this and I said, what? I ain't thought about that movie in so long. You remember the movie Fern Gully? You never seen? Watch it with your kids.
Okay.
Find Fern Gully and watch it with your kids. Swear that is what the hell is happening in the Amazon.
We always talk about this shit that happens in these movies.
Man, Fern Gully is an animated movie. Mm-hmm. It came out a long time ago. I had to be like 7 or whatever. But it's really funny. Yeah, it came out in 92. This is Fern Gully.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember.
But the whole thing with the fire and the oil company and the truck, like...
Crazy.
It's the fucking movie. Luckily, like, they end up winning. Like, mm-hmm. the little animal creatures of the forest or whatever, but...
That's crazy.
Yeah. So... Yeah, it's crazy how, like, because I'm sure what's happening in the Amazon is not the first time something like that has happened. It's just that big of a magnitude, you know, right. Because the Amazon is 20% of the air, of oxygen. It produces 20% of the globe's oxygen. So, but yeah, it's a rainforest in Australia. It's Fern Gully.
Wow.
So yeah, the lodging company. So this was the lodging company, and then that was the oil company. So
that's crazy. That is so crazy. But yeah, I think, you know, as these next couple of years, I think holistic health will be more dominant than it is today. Like, I give it a couple more months. A couple more years. And I feel like, because we're waking up. I know a lot of people was talking about somebody woke and all this stuff, but that's true. We're waking up. We're waking up.
That's what I'm saying. And we're seeing a lot of stuff is just
bullshit.
Yeah. Right now it's the age of Aquarius. So with the age of Aquarius going on, that's just basically... You know, Google if you don't know what that is. But it's just basically just saying that we are past the age of a Pisces, which was it ended in 2012. That's why people was in uproar about, oh, the world was going to come to an end in 2012. The Mayan calendar ended in 2012.
Yeah.
Well, y'all just wasn't reading correctly. The true translation behind it was the end of an era.
Right.
End of the Pisces era, which was the big religion era.
Right.
And then the coming of the age of Aquarius, which was the information era.
Right.
People were going to start becoming more aware of things, being more...
Reading more,
experiencing more, seeing more, understanding more, going outside their box, outside their comfort zone. And then since 2012, what have you noticed? I came out of mine in 2014.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So... You see people, especially with social media, it's traveling faster and quicker.
It is. Word of mouth is spreading a lot faster.
A lot. And then if you go on people's Instagram story, like North Star, I'd be like, you know what? I'm not even following you today. I'm not looking at your shit today. Because when you go on your little rampages... And all your books, because you got a fucking library at your goddamn house.
That's what I wanted to rant. I'm gonna use this time to rant for just a second before we wrap it up. But I was so pissed because on the first day of school, I saw a post and was like, oh, I took my kids out the hood and transferred them over to this predominantly white school and getting a better education. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Predominantly white means better education?
Mm-hmm.
It's 2019 and we still thinking like this? Mm-hmm. Like, you cannot be serious. Like, this has to be a joke. I'm reading this, I'm like, first of all, do you not see black excellence out here? You cannot... My kids, I don't give a damn.
Is LeBron James School not a great school to go to? It's LeBron, and that's a predominantly black school.
I'm like, sweetie, these black HBCUs are bringing out black excellence. Look at all these black lawyers, black judges. That last year, this last year.
Yeah, last election was 12.
I think it was 19 black judges.
Mostly
that went to prominently HBCUs. What are you talking about? That type of thinking, you're still going to have people that still left behind because of that thinking.
Yeah.
And you don't realize that you really are setting your children up for failure because you're sending them to somewhere that they don't belong.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's more of a culture thing.
And that they're predominantly white for a reason because they want to be. Mm-hmm. Because you technically... They don't want your black ass there. Period. And so that's my rant. I had to get that out. I was gonna go live and just do a whole bitch.
I think the issue for me is we have to invest in our neighborhoods, invest in our PTA.
And I was like, if the school that your kid, if they're not thriving in that school, or if you feel like the school, that whatever district, join the PTA, join the school board, go to those school board meetings. Mm-hmm. That's what they're there for.
Yep.
Go get involved. Make a change.
But if we invest more in our communities, our neighborhoods, our schools, you know, we can make such an impact and such a difference. I believe in, for a certain age group, I believe in separation, not segregation. Because segregation is something they force you to do. I do believe in separation at a certain level.
Right.
Because I believe in us owning our own shit, supporting our own shit.
Right.
You know, I believe in, you know, like us growing up and having like those real black teachers that really gave a damn.
And being comfortable.
Exactly.
Being in your comfort zone.
Yeah.
When you take your child out the comfort zone.
Yeah. Everybody needs their own, what's it called now? Space.
Space.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I believe in diversity too, to a certain level too, because, you know, if that comes in sports, arts, whatever the case may be, I do believe in diversity to a certain extent, because people do need to, as kids, need to understand how to be along with each other as kids. But I also feel like, you know, it's so important for kids of color to understand their culture.
Right.
Understand who they are.
Right.
Because there's so much backlash going against who we are as a people.
Gianni told me, this is the last thing I'm saying. Gianni told me, they don't call it social studies anymore. They call it cultural studies or something like that. And she said her teacher told one of the little white girls in the class, she said, "You aren't white. There's no such thing as black and white. We're all, you know what I'm saying? We're all from Africa," is what she told Jenny. Said the teacher told everybody in the class, "We all came from Africa." Uh-huh. You know, we're all from here. And I was like, what teacher is this?
Hey, there's the
school. She didn't tell the white guy. She told the little white girl that she told her. We're all black, technically.
Do you remember that part from,
She's like, you
Boys
are,
in the Hood?
She's like, you are black. You told the little girl, you are black. Ain't no such thing as white. You're black. And I was like, wow.
Do you remember that part at the beginning of Boys in the Hood? And they was at school. And he pulled out the map down, because the teacher told him he could teach.
Yeah.
He pulled the map down, like, we're going to talk about Africa. And then some kid was like, African beauty scratch or something. And he was like it or not, you African.
Yeah.
You from Africa. And
that's basically what the teacher just...
I mean, it's true, you know, like...
I'm like, what?
We are the first. Everybody come from us. You can't get black out of white, but you can get white out of black.
I'm not so she jumping the school off like school year off like that. Oh,
just nice. Letting you know, like, through evolution, you became who you are today.
Right.
But you started off like this.
I was like, wow, I need to see
this. But I support this.
I support it.
I support this.
I'm like, but we're going to have a hell of a year.
Hell yeah. I want to wish you home and say, I'm really black.
You probably whipped you that baby out of school so fast.
Called a principal teacher.
Called the school board.
Have a sit down powwow.
But yeah, so that pretty much concludes our episode 3. I think we're going to start doing like a ask, question and answer segment. For our next episode, that way you guys can ask us questions and we'll answer them. You can follow me on Facebook, Bonita Applebaum, Instagram, that pretty MF underscore.
I'll be there pretty.
Hey, they did free ASAP Rocky though.
Did free ASAP, you know, he didn't have to go to jail. I mean, he didn't have to go back to prison. There's no time. Yeah, we did talk about that, but
what's your handle?
Oh, so Facebook is my name, Marshan Briggs. That's me. And on Instagram is Nubian Soul with 2 underscores at the end.
That's right. Until next episode. Bye guys.
Peace and hair crease.